That's why he's the singing preacher and I ain't. Don't amen too loud. You hurt my feelings, all right? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, okay? I ain't got but one feeling left, and I'm trying not to get it hurt, okay? So, grateful to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen? And let me just say this, and because I've had this conversation a few times the last couple of weeks, and I realize we're all trying to figure out the day and age and the season and what we can do and can't do, and I've had some conversation with some parents, and we are trying to figure out when can we do nursery again and all that sort of thing. And this is what I want you to know. First of all, whatever you're comfortable with, that's okay. You know, you be obedient to the Lord and how you see fit during this season. I know some of you are online because you compromised immune system and all that kind of thing, and that's okay. That, you know, however the Lord leads you, that and be wise in those decisions and that sort of thing. But let me say to you that if it's maybe not coming out of fear of maybe kids not behaving or getting along or maybe babies being a distraction, let me share something with you. Whenever I was going through seminary, and my preaching seminar, so you have one semester where you tried to figure out how to put a sermon together, and yes, I did take that class, okay, so don't hurt my feelings, all right? And then the second part is the delivery portion, and most of the time you have to preach in front of your peers, but it worked out where our class was too full, there wasn't enough spots, and so my professor said, hey, why don't you preach? You're serving in a church. I preached about once a month at Miracle Baptist. Why don't you record it and then bring it to me and I'll watch it and critique, all that kind of thing. And I said, okay. And so I did. Now, at the time, I was serving at Miracle Baptist Church in Memphis, backside of Claiborne Homes housing project, one of the toughest, worst neighborhoods in all of Memphis. And a lot of dirty work. And so a lot of the kids that we ministered to, and I'm not trying to be funny and I'm not trying to make light of it, were crack babies, and moms were out there on the street, dads were on the street. I remember one night we went and tried to minister to some kids that came, and Kavion, and he had several little brothers and sisters, and he was the second oldest, and we went to deliver some things for Christmas, and as we got down into the hood in the middle of the project, looked, and all these kids were running in and out of this door, and we thought, what in the world is going on? And got down there, and it was about 35, 38 degrees outside. The door was standing wide open, kids running everywhere, and walked in, and Kavion had bread laid out on the counter, and he had a bowl of chili. Kavion, what you doing? He said, I'm making supper, and he was taking chili and putting it on that bread and making it for all his little brothers and sisters. And he wasn't but about 6 or 7 years old at the time. Mom never knew we went in. She was upstairs with a friend. And so we had all kinds of kids similar to Kavion and those kids. And when it was time for church, we had church at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And when it was time for church, folks and ladies and people in the church did the best they could to try to help Kavion and others sit down and pay attention. But those of you who've never been to a black church, we don't have church for 45 minutes or an hour and it's time to go. All right, we have church. All right. Brother Ronnie, I would always say that white folks have a nerve in their bottom, and after about 30 minutes it goes off and they don't hear anything else. So black folks don't have that problem. And so we'd have long services, and Brother Bob, you better believe, folks, man, kids up, running around crazy. It was a wide open gym, and man, you never knew. You're liable to have to stop preaching and two kids keep from fist fighting, sit back down and go back to preaching. And so it's pretty similar to the way that I preached that Sunday that I recorded that message, loud as could be. And so I turned it in, and I went for my critique, and I don't remember anything else that Dr. Seal told me, but I sat down, and he had listened to all that noise. I mean, you know, a gym's loud, and he goes, well, you've got one thing for you. You don't get distracted easily. I tell you that to say, listen, folks, we can condition ourselves. You know, we may have some kids that holler and scream, and you may bring your kids one Sunday, and man, they're just not... has anybody seen my kids? I mean, I didn't talk about them this morning. They're not here, and I'm pretty confident they're not on Facebook watching, okay? Hopefully, Granny and Paul don't have it pulled up right now, so. But we can survive, amen? I think it is healthy and good to sit in a congregation and hear the cry of a baby or hear the laughter of a child. I better keep going before I skin you, okay? All right? No, but in all reality, parents, you do as the Lord leads you, but I hope and pray that fear of distraction or fear of maybe them not sitting the entire time or whatever it is is not a deterrent. Because I'll tell you one thing, I do get distracted, but the beauty about me getting distracted, I find it back pretty quick, okay? Because I live my life that way, all right? I get distracted really easily, all right? Such as this, Philippians 2, okay? Philippians 2 and verse 19. Philippians 2, 19. This morning, I want to talk to you about a message that I've titled, Joy Expected, Invested. The investment. Now, one of my pet peeves right now is that a lot of church circles have spent a whole lot of time talking about this buzzword called discipleship. And yes, I believe in discipling and investing in others, but I don't use the word the way that maybe you do or some of these other folks do, because I think there's a misunderstanding, because the Bible does tell us in Matthew 28, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them, lo, I'm with you always, okay? Yes, I know I condensed it, but this is what I need you to hear. Go and make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. I believe that's a linear process in this, that what we talk about discipleship, the Scripture's talking about evangelize. Go make disciples. The first part of that is that they've got to come to repentance and faith in Jesus. And yes, I'm very clear, that's not us who does that, but that's the work of God, that they come to faith in Christ. Go and make disciples, baptize them. That's the first step of obedience after someone has repented and placed their faith and trust in Christ. Then teach them all things I've commanded you. And that process of teaching is what we equate with discipleship. And that is a part of discipleship, but it's not the whole picture. Because we got to start with winning people to Jesus right now. And by the way, church, while I'm here, we've got to figure that out in a COVID world. Because I don't know if we've figured it out yet or not, but I don't think COVID and mask and social distancing is going anywhere away anytime soon. And church, we cannot sit on our hands waiting for a vaccine or waiting for some solution to come along. We've got to figure out how the gospel of Jesus can go to the world right now. And I'll be honest with you, I have no idea what that looks like. Not a clue. But I know that's our call. And so he says, go make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. And we focus a lot on the teaching and little on the evangelism. But even with that said, this morning, we are called to make disciples and invest in those people. So this morning, I want to talk to you about the investment into other people. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. If you have found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Let's pray. God in heaven, I pray this morning that everything that is said and done would bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. And I pray, God in heaven, that you would hide me behind your cross, fill me with your Spirit, give me every word to say, nothing more and nothing less. And I pray in this moment, God, for every believer that they would be encouraged, those who are far from you would be drawn to you, and God, those who don't know you would be saved today. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So I want to talk to you about invested or investing in others. And so the main idea of the text is this, is that God raises up people ready for investment. Now I struggle with this because the way I originally wrote this main idea, and it's going to be uncomfortable for you, and that'll be okay, maybe we need to squirm a little bit, is I originally wrote the main idea of the text is this, is that God raises up people who are worthy of your investment. Now, I went away from worthy because I don't want you to misunderstand. The reality is, none of us are worthy of God's grace. That's the beauty of God's grace. But we are all equally unworthy. And so I don't want to try to highlight or put somebody else above another person. The reality is, we're all on the same playing field. We are all unworthy. But the communication, the idea behind the text is that God raises up some people, not all people, who are in a position and they are in a mindset that they're ready to be invested into. And not all people are there. Not all people are ready to receive that. Not all people are ready that are compatible, and we're going to walk through some of this. So the question of the text this morning is, let me ask you, dear friend, who are you investing in? Some of you have been saved for a long time. Some of you have been saved for a very long time. Some of you, maybe not as long. And along the way, whether somebody is intentionally invested in you or it's just happened by circumstance, and I'll be honest with you, for a lot of my Christian years, especially early on, I did not have an intentional person pouring and investing in me daily, weekly, and just it just kind of happened by just being around people at different times in different ways. But nonetheless, whether we had that intentionality or not, for many of us in this room and many of us watching online, you have been saved for many years. God has taught you many things through the years. And I wonder, what is it that you are doing with all that God has taught you? And let me encourage you. You, as best I can tell, still have breath in your lungs. So God has a purpose and a plan for you. And I believe a part of that purpose and that plan is to take what God has taught you and invest it in others. And so, who are you investing in? There are four truths that as we look at this text, and to be honest with you, it's a little bit of a strange text to preach. Because it in some ways, this second half of chapter 2 is a travel itinerary. It's a log of what Paul's plans were going to be. And so in this second half, beginning in verse 19 and on down, he's talking about what he's planning to do. And he talks about Timothy and Epaphroditus. And we're going to talk about Epaphroditus, Lord willing, next week. But this week we're focusing on Paul and Timothy's relationship. And based on what Paul says about Timothy, there are four components, there are four aspects that make up his relationship, why Timothy was a great prospect to invest in. And if we're going to invest in people, and we're going to make a difference, we need to be able to consider and think about those around us. And think about, do they fit this? Do they work here? Is this a good relationship for me to invest in? And so, number one, invest in those who are compatible. Those who are compatible. I want you to look at verse 19 and 20. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. There's our character. This is Paul saying that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. And by the way, I want you to hear the affection for the Philippians in Paul's tone. Remember, Paul's in prison. Paul's facing persecution. He's writing to them. He's saying, look, I'm going to send Timothy, and it's partly to encourage you, but also I'm going to send him so he comes back, tells me how great you're doing, and I'm going to be fired up with you. Because he is excited about the state of the church. He is excited about what God may be doing there. He's excited about the church. He's excited about the bride of Christ because he loves the Christ. We live in a day and time where it's really easy on social media and all sorts of other platforms to get on and berate churches. Berate and pick on the bride of Christ. Man, I see it almost every day now. People are ticked off because a church shut down, or people are ticked off because they didn't shut down. People are ticked off because they quit doing this, or they started doing this, or they're singing that, or they're not singing this. Dear friend, yes, we need to care about the things of church. Yes, we need to, it's okay to have opinions, but you better be very, very careful when you are talking about the bride of Christ. Verse 20. For I have no one, I want you to mark or underline this, like-minded, who will sincerely care for your state. This like-minded idea, I want you to listen, this is a little bit comical, listen to the original, the Greek word, the original word here, and it is isopsychos. Isopsychos. And so the idea is that it means to be not just like-minded, but equal in soul. There is a compatibility that is going on here between Paul and Timothy. No, not in some ungodly way, but there is a compatibility. There's a like-mindedness. There's a unity in spirit that is between these two brothers. That is why it has been so easy for Paul to invest in Timothy. And we need to hear that, friends. I know some of you are thinking it, you know, to go around and cherry pick or whatever it is, however you want to try to describe it. Let me just say this to you. Jesus didn't invest in everyone the way that he did some of his disciples. We refer to the 12. And by the way, if you study Scripture very closely, you can find where Jesus had three that he invested in a deeper way than he even did the 12. So before you get too righteous on me, let me encourage you. Jesus saw that in his years and in his time, he only had so much time and so many opportunities to invest in. And he ministered to the masses. And he ministered to those 12 disciples, but he also spent significant amount of time with the inner circle, the three, investing in them. And Paul here has this relationship with Timothy, and he says, I'm sending Timothy, and I'm doing it because he is like-minded. I'm sending him, I'm trusting in him, I have invested in him because there's a compatibility that is here that cannot be explained. Dear friend, I firmly believe God raises up people in your life, in your path that may have a like spirit as you. You need to take note and ask yourself, am I going to pour into them, or maybe God's raising them up so they'll pour into me? It's a like-mindedness. We see this, Paul talk about this in a couple other places in 1 Corinthians 16:10. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. There's a compatibility component there. 2 Timothy 3:10, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Paul's writing to Timothy, and look at the list of what he says, that you've been faithful to follow this because there was the compatibility. They were synced up together. And Paul and Timothy had a like mind. They had a bond, a spiritual bond, a bond in terms of their soul. That's why it worked. And friend, you need to look around you and go, man, who are the folks that there's a like-mindedness that God may be raising up for me to invest in? Or maybe there's somebody that's a like-mindedness that's a little bit further down the road than I am that I need to come and have coffee with, that they can invest in me. Invest in those who are compatible. Number two, invest in those who are committed. Look at verse 19 through 22. Again, here it is, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded, there it is, you unmarked or underlined like-minded, who will, here's the other word, sincerely, mark or underline sincerely, care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus, but you know his proven character. And it continues on. But I want you to, I want to talk about this word sincerely. In some translations, it says genuine. Or this genuine care for your soul. The idea behind the word that is used there is one who is a legitimate part of a family. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about that, yeah, there are people who come and go in your circle of influence and maybe childhood friends or whatever it is, and they get close to your family. They care about your family. But sometimes life happens, they move on. But for the most part, and I know there are exceptions to the rule, but you have a care and concern about the family in which you were born into and brought up with. Now, it doesn't have to be blood. Maybe it's adoption. But you have a genuine care and concern about your family like nobody else. And that's what Paul is communicating here. He's saying, I'm sending Timothy not only because there's a compatibility with us, but also he is committed like no one else. Notice the language that he uses in verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ, but you know his proven character. What's Paul saying? Is there nobody else that cares about the cause of Christ other than Timothy? Is there nobody? No, I believe he's referring back to what we heard towards the end of chapter 1 earlier in the passage. Because he's talking about seeking their own. And if you look at Philippians 1, verse 15 through 17, some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. And so what I think Paul is doing, he's saying, man, there are some out here that are preaching the gospel for their own gain. And there are some who, and it includes Timothy, that are preaching the gospel because their love for Jesus and out of sincerity. So I think Paul is using some extreme language. I think there are other believers in the world that Paul, when Paul's writing this, who would fit that. But what he's saying is there's nobody else around me that is sincere in this, that is as committed to you, church, as I am, is what Paul is saying. Because he sincerely cares for your soul, and there's no one else. Friend, the reality is, you can say today, hey, I'm going to start a discipleship group, a teaching group, an investment group, whatever you want to call it, I don't care. I'm going to try to invest in others. And the reality is, not everybody's going to get on the bus. Especially if it's real investment. If you're having hard conversation, investing difficult truth, and you're walking alongside and you're working together, you may be compatible as far as the day is long, but if there's not commitment that's there, it's never going to work. There's got to be first a committedness to Jesus, and then a committedness that I do want to learn, I do want to become obedient, I do want to grow in the faith. Let me just say, church, if our nation continues in the direction that it is in, I think committedness is going to be revealed. Because I do believe there is high persecution coming. I don't know if it'll happen in my life or not. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. But I think you'd be pretty hard-pressed to look at the direction our world has gone in the last 10 years and not think that if it continues to go that direction, there's going to be severe persecution for the church. Hey, let me tell you right now, I had a friend of mine in Oklahoma this past week. He preached a message and he talked about homosexuality. And what he was trying to say, what he communicated was that if we, with the legalization of homosexuality and all those sorts of things, and talked about continuing down that road, he kind of played that out in its logical sense. And he's there and he's preaching the scripture. Man got berated. I can't tell you the volume of things that were said about him and all sorts of accusations and different things. Because I believe he just preached the truth. And so committedness is going to be revealed. And I want to encourage you, friend, if you're going to invest in others, if folks want to invest in you, committedness matters. And Paul said, I'm sending Timothy because he's not only compatible with me, but he's committed. He's committed. And before I move on, let me finally say to you, I believe that is a great testimony of the Spirit, is committedness. You show up and do what you're going to do. Do what you've said you're going to do. Be obedient to that and be committed. Let's move on to number three, invest in those with high character. So he was compatible, he was committed, but not only that, he had high character. Look at verse 22. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. You know his proven character. Folks, character matters. And yes, I do realize, unfortunately, we don't live in a world anymore where your word means something to a lot of people. I realize some of you, easier than others, can remember a day when your word and a handshake was all that you needed, because character mattered. And I realize we don't live in that day and age anymore, unfortunately. To resell a pair of blue jeans, you need to get fingerprints and DNA and a release form, all that kind of stuff. But as believers, character matters. And Paul said, I'm sending Timothy because he has a proven character. And dear church, we've got to be really careful. Our character matters. Our character every day, what you say you're going to do, how you say you're going to do it, it matters. And dear friend, I realize there's a lot being said out there, but you are not more spiritual than your social media accounts say you are. character matters. D.L. Moody said this about character. Character is what you are in the dark. And so as you think about investing in others, they need to be compatible. They need to be like-minded. They've got to be committed. But it does matter that we look for people to pour into who have proven high character. Because as we invest in them, they need to continue on. They need to grow in that. And as they grow in the Lord, we need to grow greater in high character. Do things with high integrity. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:13, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. 2 Corinthians 2:9, for to this end I also wrote that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. I think character is the test of what we really believe. Whether we try to do the right thing at all times, whether nobody sees it or not, whether anybody will ever know or not, we do things with high character. Number four, invest in those who are companions. Look at verse 22. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Now, listen to the bond of that relationship as Paul invested in Timothy. And I believe Timothy went virtually everywhere that Paul did. And once they met, once they got together in a lot of ways, now obviously Paul sent him places and there were certainly short amount of breaks. They spent a lot of time together. And there was a companionship that was bonded there. I believe there should be a partnership. There ought to be relationships, friendships, companionships in the church like no other place. Why? Because on some level, in some way, we're compatible. We ought to have the same mind. That we have the same goal, the same purpose to see the gospel be preached to all the world. That there ought to be a committedness to the gospel and His church. That as believers, there ought to be a sense of high character, not because we're trying to earn something, but because grace, grace, grace. God's grace is greater than all my sins. And He has set me free, and I want to live in such a way that brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus, and I believe living with high character does that. And then there ought to be a bond as we invest and spend time with one another. First Corinthians 4:17. For this reason I have sent Timothy. Here's Paul saying he's sending him again. Who's my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul felt like he was just sending an extension of himself. And notice that he calls him his son. Why does he call him his son? Because most experts, Bible scholars, believe that Paul won Timothy to Jesus. And then he invested in him, spent time with him. By the way, don't you think Paul heard some of that? Well, you always got Timothy with you. You're always spending time with Timothy. He probably got some emails. Never mind, I could just play that out. We won't go there, all right? I'll get to meddling, and there we'll have it. But he spent time with Timothy, so much so he felt like he was sending an extension of himself. 1 Corinthians 3:9, if we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field and you are God's building. There was a bond that was there. And while I'm here, let me say this. One of the things that I pray often for my own life is that God, would you raise up? The scripture says that warns against dwelling in the presence of the wicked. And that wicked company corrupts. And so I pray, God, I realize wicked company, keeping company with the wicked, brings corruption. I pray, would you raise up godly friends in my life that I'll have a chance to invest in, that they'll invest in me, that he'd be glorified. And let me say this. I thank God that he has raised up Jonathan and Al Ray in my life, because these men have invested in me. And I've tried not to corrupt them. And there's a companionship that comes alongside that that matters, that means something. And friend, let me encourage you. Invest in others. I realize some of you maybe say, I can't. Well, I was reading about Joe Reagan this week, and I hope you read the tribute that the International Mission Board wrote about him. It was incredible. It was good. I was just thinking about the investment and the impact that man made with the years that he had on earth. But in some ways, it makes you sad because you think an entire, you know, it was said that when an old person dies, a library dies with it. And I realize some of you may not. Right now, nobody can get up and go to Ukraine and share the gospel or to Africa or whatever it is. Some of you say, I'm just not in that place anymore. But let me encourage you. Let me say to you, you still have a purpose and a plan. And there are folks in your life that God wants to raise up if you will be faithful and obedient to teach others what God has also taught you. Yesterday, I had a conversation with a friend. He's been through a hard time. He's faced some adversity. Had recent tragedy, and this is what he told me. He said, Chris, God's taught me some things through this that I think will help others. It'll help me be a better minister. And I thought, Al Ray, I think so too. That's hard. Wouldn't anybody in the world won't necessarily sign up for that, but I'm telling you, friends, that is a kingdom mindset. To go, this has been really, really difficult, the most difficult thing in my life, but I know God has taught me some things. I think it'll help others. Now, let me share something with you. Every person in this room has been or will be through some things that if you'll let God teach you, it'll help others. Amen? Amen. If you don't yet know Christ, you've got nothing to invest in others that's worth eternity. Now, You may be great in your professional field, and that's what you do in the professional field oftentimes. You try to help others. But as far as a Christian, as far as somebody knowing Christ, you've got nothing to invest in others. If you don't yet know Jesus, won't you repent and believe on Him? Let's pray. God in heaven, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your love and affection. God, I thank you for how you care for us. Thank you, God, that you have raised up men and women in my life who have shared truth, shared their experience. God, I could grow. I pray, God, if there's anybody here who does not yet know Jesus or watching online who does not yet know Jesus, God, you would save them. Give them grace right now to repent, turn from their sin, and place their faith and trust in you. I pray they would call out on you right now in this moment for salvation. And if that's you, just pray right where you're at. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to be the boss of your life. Give everything to Him. And maybe you have been saved, but you haven't followed in baptism. Dear friend, you need to take that step of obedience. It's not if, it's when. And believer, I pray that you'll ask the Lord, God, who is it you're raising up for me to invest in? Who is it that's there that's opportunity to invest in me? God, you work. You just take a moment to respond to Him. Spend time in prayer. God, I love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. Father, I pray that you would hide us behind your cross. I pray for any who's professed salvation in you today, they surrendered their heart and life to you, God, you give them boldness to make that decision known. Pray for those that need to be baptized. Give them boldness to take that step. And God, I pray you'd help us to be more intentional to see who it is you'd have us to invest in. God, you are merciful and gracious and kind. And we love and adore you. And I pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.